Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on compulsory education when we come back. You know, those who already walk submissively will say that there's no cause for alarm, but submissiveness is not our heritage. And the First Amendment was designed to allow rebellion to remain as your heritage. The Constitution was designed to keep government off the backs of the people, and the Bill of Rights was added to keep the precincts of belief and expression of the press, of political and social activities free from government surveillance. Now, I wish I'd have thought of that, but that quotation came from Supreme Court Justice William O. Douglas. Now, you know, our princes and our politicians are bellowing in the halls of Congress for more taxes, more spending, more gun control, but you and I haven't heard anything intelligent come out of a politician's mouth in more than 75 years. And that's why I contend that the only real reason, logic, or common sense left in America comes from our courts. It doesn't come from our political process. It's not coming from our politicians or our lawyers or our bureaucrats. Old Mayor Rothschild summed it up with a flair when he said, "You give me the money power, and I care not who makes the laws." Well, let me echo that by saying, "You give me the judicial power, and I care not who makes the laws either," because the real power in America is in our courts. It's not in our politics. Now, if you'd like to tap into that power of the courts, why don't you call us here at the law school? The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, while you're at it, be sure to ask for our free general law CD package. That's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and best of all, it's free. Now, our school, Courtroom Strategy and Procedures, available on compact disc for adult home education. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. Click on to the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package for yourself. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Hey, we've been talking about compulsory education. So the last time as an introduction, I said compulsory education is required by God Almighty himself. So in Anglo-Saxon administration, and indeed worldwide, God, the Creator, requires education. And he's got a standard, and his standard from the scripture is a legal education based upon the Ten Commandments and the 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments contained in the scripture. Now, if you want to learn some other things, you know, like how to braid rope or how to smoke dope or something else, those are educational things that you need to learn outside the scope of the scripture. But for the purposes of your total overall well-being, you need a legal education. Now, we decided here in the United States that we're not going to have a legal education. We're going to have a liberal arts education. Liberal arts. And so we've done that, and we got an outcome. So now, around the world, when American students try to measure up, you know, on average, I'm not saying all Americans are stupid, but on average, if you take American students out of our public schools and you match them with a Norwegian or a Swede or a Dane or a Canadian or an Englishman or an Indian or a Chinese, he comes out number 32 on the world spectrum. Now, we spend more money on education than anybody else in the world, but we don't have the best outcome from it. So I pointed out to you last time, spending more money on education is not the solution. It isn't going to make your kids smarter by spending more money. I mean, you can put that out of your mind right now. In fact, I showed you last time that if you spend the least amount of money and educate your kid at home, which is the formula that you got from your Creator. So for you 3 million students out there being educated at home, you've got the best educational system that you can get, and it's endorsed by the Creator of the universe himself. He said that's the best way to educate a kid is at home. His parents are the best teachers that he can have. Now, we have been taught here in this country that if you don't have a college education with a teaching certificate, you can't teach. And we believe it. I mean, it's just BS. But we believe that statement, that without a college education, you can't teach because you don't know anything. And without a teaching certificate, you can't teach because you don't have skills. Now, I showed you the last time. The dumbest people in America become teachers and social workers, and that's because they're not smart enough to become doctors and lawyers. It isn't that way because I said it's that way. It's that way, and I'm reporting it. Nothing more, nothing less. So when people want to go to college, they have to have something to major in. And so they test them, and they say, well, you can't get into law school. You're not smart enough. You can't get into medical school because you're not smart enough. But you can get into social work. That's about where your IQ is going to land you. So she becomes social lady. Yeah, you can become a school teacher. You know, you could handle that. And so we send them off to college, and then we turn out these public school teachers. I was looking for a little section here in a book here. I'm gonna tell you a story here. There's a book here called America to Pray or Not to Pray. It's put out by a guy named David Barton. Write this down: America to Pray or Not to Pray. Little book. I think he's charging $12 for it. And in the book, he points out America's educational system and what the hell's going on with prayer in the public school and one thing and another. Well, listen to this. I'm on page 68 here. In the old days, the seven top problems in public schools were this. It's talking, chewing gum, making noise, running in the halls, getting out of turn in line, wearing improper clothing, and not putting paper in wastebaskets. Seven problems. Let me run this by you again. Seven big problems. This is about the way it was when I was a kid going to school. Kids were talking in class. They were chewing gum. They were making noise. They were running in the halls. They were getting out of line, you know, getting out of their turn in line, wearing improper clothing, and they weren't putting the paper in the waste paper basket. Okay. Now, these are the 17 top problems in your public school system today in the United States of America. Now, the rest of you people in the world probably have more sense, and you're doing a little better job. But here in America, listen to this. Do you know what the number one problem in America is in our public schools? It's rape, R-A-P-E. It's the boys are grabbing the girls and taking them in behind the stands and raping them. That's the number one problem. You know what the second problem is? Robbery. It's the students robbing the other students if they're not robbing the faculty. Three is assault. Four is burglary. Five is arson. Six is bombings. And seven is murder. Murder is number seven. Number seven in the old days was not putting paper in the waste paper baskets. Now it's murder. The number one problem that teachers had with students in school 50 years ago was talking in class. Today the number one problem is rape. Now let me ask you this. Would you send your child into a circumstance where your child might be raped, robbed, assaulted, be the victim of burglary, arson, a bombing, or murder? Those are the seven top problems. Would you send your child into a circumstance that you thought he might be murdered, might be the victim of a bombing or an arson or a burglary? I think that if we took these, seven, rape, robbery, assault, burglary, arson, bombings, and murder, we would not send our child knowingly to such a place. If I said, let me send your kid to summer camp, where he has a great chance of being raped, robbed, assaulted, burgled, arsoned, or bombed, or murdered, you wouldn't send your kid to that summer camp, would you? But hell, you send your kid to public school every day and think nothing about it. So don't ever say to somebody, I'm real concerned about my child's safety. It's obvious that you don't give a rat's rectum about your kid's safety, or you wouldn't be sending him to public school, or you're just ignorant and didn't know. Well, now you're not ignorant because I just told you. Now, if you like to get the numbers, America to Pray or Not to Pray, David Barton, let me give you his number here. P.O. Box 397, Aledo, Texas, 76008. That's Post Office Box 397, Aledo, A-L-E-D-O, Texas, 76008. I got a phone down there. The number is 817-441-6044. That's 817-441-6044. They're also known as Wall Builders Press. Okay, now, with that much information between your ears, let's go on to the next thing, public school. The public school system is the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto. If you want to practice communism, send your kid to public school. It is the 10th plank. Public school costs us twice as much as private school and 10 times more than homeschool. Public school teaches our sons sodomy, our daughters whoredom, and it does it in a perfect socialist environment. Now, these six things does the eternal hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. In Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19, here's what God hates. He says, he hates a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that spreads lies, and he that sows discord among brethren. Public school teaches and promotes all seven of these abominations that God hates. Public school promotes a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift or running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among brethren. Where do they learn? Learn in public school. Now, public school is a place of rape, robbery, burglary, arson, bombings, murder, vandalism, extortion, drug abuse, witchcraft, fornication, and venereal disease. I got that from David Barton also, page 68. See, I'll get that again. Let me flip back here to 68. Yeah, here it is. rape, robbery, assault, burglary, arson, bombings, murder, suicide, absenteeism, vandalism, extortion, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, gang warfare, pregnancies, abortion, and venereal disease. Those are the 17 top problems in the public school system of the United States today. Now, I might want to point this out to you also. In the Detroit public school system, they average one school shooting per day. That's 180 per year. Now, it takes 360 days in a year to shoot 180 students in the public school systems of Detroit. But I want to point out that there's only one, there's only 180 days of school in a year, and they're shooting 180 kids a year in the public school system of Detroit. Now, I got to ask myself the question, do you mean there's no school shootings in Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, or Cleveland? It doesn't happen there. It only happens in Detroit. No, I've got to report to you that it happens in all these major cities, and especially these inner-city schools, where they have a lot of drug turf to protect. Now, why you'd want to send your kid to public school is beyond me, but I thought I'd give you this report, because compulsory education comes from God himself. The state is simply enforcing a law that God created. The difference is that God created a law and said, educate your kid at home and educate him to these standards, and the government comes in and says, no, don't educate him to the Ten Commandments. That's why they threw the Bible out of the public school. And you know, they talk a lot in this country about prayer in public school and the Bible in public school. I don't think the Bible belongs in public school. I don't believe it for a minute. Excuse me. Hang on a second here. Would you take a Bible into a whorehouse? Do you think that the Bible belongs in a house of prostitution? Well, I don't. I don't think that the Bible has any place in a whorehouse. And I can't think of any reason for bringing a Bible into public school, where they have rape, robbery, assault, burglary, arson, bombings, and murder as the top seven problems. I don't think the Bible belongs in a place where you're killing 180 kids a year. Well, not killing, but shooting 180 kids a year in the Detroit public school. Now, they didn't kill 180. They just shoot them. See, if you don't kill them, you don't have a newsworthy story to tell. And the rest of us in the country evidently aren't hearing about these stories. Now, I'm quoting now from Barton's book. I got my numbers here from Barton. Barton got his numbers from the Department of Education. These are not secret numbers. This is not top secret. Now, it isn't like the TARP program here in our government where you can't know how much Bank of America is paying its top executives because it's a state secret. Now, that you can't know. Hell, the rest of this is public information. It's right out there on the internet. Hell, the Department of Education's got it out there on the internet. Go tune into it. Public school is a place for this rape, robbery, burglary, and arson. Public school has totally expunged God, prayer, the Ten Commandments, and morality from the educational system. Let me repeat that. The public schools here in America have totally expunged God. You can't bring God into the public schools. You can't bring the Bible, and you can't have prayer there. The Ten Commandments have been banned from the public schools, and morality has been banned from the public schools. Now you're going to sit there and say, oh, gasp like Judy Hartson. Huh? Let me turn over here to page 28. Here we go. In 1988, California was considering adopting legislation on sex education for public school, requiring that the course material and instruction shall stress that monogamous heterosexual intercourse, that's one man and one woman, within marriage is a traditional American value. The senator promoting the bill received a letter of protest from the ACLU dated April 18, 1988, and the ACLU made this statement in their letter. They said, it is our position that monogamous heterosexual intercourse within marriage as a traditional American value is an unconstitutional establishment of a religious doctrine in public school. There are various religions which hold contrary beliefs with respect to marriage and monogamy, and we believe this bill violates the First Amendment. Students across the nation are being provided with materials in their sex education classes from groups like Planned Parenthood, materials containing photographs, illustrations, and graphics, including and demonstrating premarital sexual relations for adolescents. Consider these mild excerpts from books and materials that Planned Parenthood and similar groups recommend for adolescents. Now, remember, we're talking about compulsory education. It is compulsory in these public schools that children receive sex education in the public school. Now, I think that all children should be educated to sex. My daddy educated me. And I think that morality and sex go together. And I think sexual education and sexual morality and the Ten Commandments and the statutes of God are all part and parcel with education. So don't get the wrong impression here that I'm a prude and I'm opposed to sex education. But who's going to teach the sex education? Some sodomite? Huh? I mean, after all, you have sodomites and lesbians teaching in your public schools. It's the law, you know. Do you want some sodomite or lesbian teaching sex education to your child in public school? Obviously you do, or you wouldn't be sending your kid there, but I just thought I would bring it to your attention in case maybe you were ignorant and didn't know what the hell's going on here. Now listen to this. Here's what they're being taught. Boys and sex. From page 2. More and more people are coming to understand that having sex is a joyful and enriching experience at any age. Playing with girls sexually before adolescence increases the chances for a satisfactory sex life when a boy grows up. Page 38. Premarital intercourse does have its definitive values as a training ground for marriage. Boys and girls who start having intercourse when they're adolescents will find that it's a big help. It's like taking a car out for a test run before you buy it. Page 117. That's what they learn from Planned Parenthood and similar groups. And these are the books that they provide for recommended for adolescents. Here's girls and sex. Girls understand now that they are far more likely to make good sexual and social adjustments to life if they learn to be warm, open, responsive, and sexually unafraid. They're learning to be sexual partners of men. And those are called whores, where I'm from. That's page 10 and 11. Everyone's agreed that teenage sex should be a learning experience, page 15. I underlined that in red. It says everyone's agreed. I don't agree. I may be the only man in America that doesn't agree, but I don't believe that for a minute. I do not believe that teenage sex should be a learning experience. Sex play with boys can be exciting, pleasurable, and even worthwhile. It will help later sexual adjustment, page 48. Now, you've changed the combination. There are only two basic kinds of sex, sex with victims and sex without. Sex with victims is always wrong. Sex without is always right. One way to avoid having victims is, of course, to have sexual relationships only with your friends. The great orgasm robbery. Sex is fun and joyful, and it comes in all types and styles, all of which are okay. Do what gives pleasure and enjoy what gives pleasure and ask for what gives pleasure. Don't rob yourself of joy by focusing on old-fashioned ideas about what's normal or nice. The effect that these school sex ed curriculums have had on the nation since the rejection of religious principles is now very apparent. By prohibiting student access to religious principles, the court has prohibited student access to the principles which produce morality. On the following graphs, notice the unusually strong correlation between the court's decisions to prohibit student access to religious principles while at school and the dramatic changes in student morality. And then he's got a number of graphs in here. I can't describe those to you on the air very well, but the book, again, is America to Pray or Not to Pray. That's page 28. Just thought I'd give you a little citation there. If you'd like a copy of the book, I think it's $12. Call and ask first. The number is 817-441-6044. Wall Builder Press, Post Office Box 397, Aledo, Texas, 76008. We're talking about compulsory education. Now, in our public schools, we have compulsory public education. But there's two other solutions to the problem. We can send our child to parochial school, cost you a little bit more, or you can educate your child at home for about $600 a year. And then you can avoid those 17 problems, you know, like murder, number 7. And you don't have to totally expunge God from your private school at home. Now, the public schools hire incompetent teachers with diplomas and credentials who cannot teach Johnny to read. They hire sodomites to teach Johnny an alternative lifestyle as a matter of public policy, and graduates more than 1 million functionally illiterate children every year who cannot read their diplomas. Public school teaches that premarital sexual activity is good for adolescents, furnishes condoms for students, then encourages sexual relations among and between children, then provides abortion services for pregnant girls, all at public expense and without any notice required to parents at all. How do you like that? Public school teaches fairy tales called evolution in place of creation, communism in place of our Constitution, and socialism in place of our Bill of Rights, property, and property rights. Public school teaches crime in violation of the Scripture by teaching us to practice the census, draft, vaccinations, public school, income tax, Social Security, insurance, and usury in the form of home mortgages, credit cards, checking accounts, bank loans, consumer credit, and auto loans. These 8 criminal activities violate 65 statutes in the Mosaic Law and 5 of the 10 Commandments, and we learn all of that and more, and we learn it from public school. Now, if a foreign nation committed these acts or any of them against our children, we would go to war. If Coca-Cola, PepsiCo, or Pizza Hut did any of these abominations against any of our children, we would scream for police, laws, legislation, and protection. But as an institution derived from communism, built upon evil, creating ignorance and promoting crime, it is second to none in holy veneration in the hearts and minds of most Americans. But shouldn't we ask ourselves why? Why do we want public school? Why do we want the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto? Why do we want a public school teacher teaching crime in violation of the scripture? Why do we want public school teachers teaching us to practice the census, the draft, vaccinations, public school, income tax, social security, insurance, and usury, when these are all violations of the Ten Commandments and the statutes, the judgments, and the commandments of God? Why do we want to do that? That's quite a story of and by itself, isn't it? Hey, we're at about the halfway point. Let me take a minute here, and we'll take our mid-course break by reminding you that you are listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has our radio log schedule and archives. All of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go directly to our webpage, georgegordon.org. Click onto the archives page, and you can download that free 4-hour CD package. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. And then finally, let me remind you that these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, and they're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about compulsory education. Beginning in 1937, the United States government, the federal government, got into the public school business kind of hot and heavy. The public school system in this country has been around forever. In small, local, isolated areas, you know, the one group or another they'd voted in, they brought it with them from Europe. It's been around, you know, since the Babylonians and the Assyrians and the Egyptians. And, of course, you know, people pick up things, you know, as they go through their lives, and they pass it on and pass it on and pass it on. So our founding fathers, though, they took a look at this, and then they deliberately left public school out of our constitutional scheme of things. They didn't prohibit it. They didn't tell the state of California that they couldn't put in public education if they wanted to. And so Massachusetts got after it hot and heavy, and they started in 1838. And then slowly but surely the New England states and the Yankees in general picked up on this public education system. And then California really set the thing on its current system, and that is in 1886 they made it compulsory in California. And that's the biggest state in the union, and boy, they got the thing going. And then the feds got into it in 1937, and it's been all downhill, you know, from that point on. Now, the point I'm making is that our system of public school used to be pretty good. We used to have God in the public schools. We used to have the Bible. In fact, in Dallas, Texas, as recently as 1947, a Texas school child in the Dallas public school system would start his education in high school, in ninth grade, would start his education, high school education, with the book of John. The book of John, with the gospel of John. They actually used the Bible and taught in public schools. Now, I don't anymore because it's against the law. I mean, we've outlawed it. We used to have morality in public school. We don't anymore, but, you know, we did. Now, when the ACLU comes along and says, hey, listen, I think that we ought to ban this Bible and religious ideas from the public schools, it makes sense. I agree with them. I think the ACLU is right. And let me tell you what. You see, you've got Jews that go to public school, and Jewish parents are opposed to Christian theology. And I don't blame them, not a bit. If you're a Jew, I can really understand your consternation that it's sending your kid to public school and having him taught about Jesus. On the other hand, you know, there's another side to this. The Muslims, you know, they're sending their kids to public school, and they're opposed to the Jews, and they don't want Judaism taught to their children by some Jewish school teacher, nor do they want Christianity crammed down their throats. And I imagine Christians probably have the same view. I mean, do you want some Jewish school teacher cramming Judaism down your kid's throat, or, you know, about Muslim theology? So when the courts came to the conclusion that we needed to take religion out of public school, I think they reached the right conclusion. Makes all the sense in the world to me. Now, does it make any sense for us to send our children to public school? And my conclusion is it doesn't. So if you're a Muslim parent, I think you should jerk your kid out of that irreligious, that secular, that filthy cesspool called the public school, and educate your child at home to the values and the beliefs that you believe in and that you practice. You know, Muslim people are pretty damn moral people, which is their biggest complaint about us Americans, is because we're a bunch of perverts. We have degenerated into a nation of perverts. I watched Leno last night, and I turned him off. He was just too damn dirty. I mean, listen, I'm a plumber. I'm not a prude, you know. I'm a plumber by trade. And you know, there's a little room in my vocabulary for four-letter words, and there's a little room in my vocabulary for a good joke. But there's a point, you know, when just filth and perversity gets to a point where it ain't funny no more. You know, Letterman's a little better than Leno. But even David Letterman, you know, he's a little on the dirty side, you know, sometimes, not always, but sometimes. Saturday Night Live used to be a pretty good program. They've become so filthy and perverted now I can hardly watch Saturday Night Live. You know, I like to watch the news every once in a while. I used to turn to Saturday Night Live so I could catch up on world events and what's going on in the news, you know, with Amy and so on. But, I mean, it's getting to the point. You guys there on Saturday Night Live, would you clean that thing up a little bit, you know, for us plumbers and carpenters and electricians? Now let's take a look at criminal activity that we all participate in. The census violates 2 Samuel 24, verses 1 through 25, and 1 Chronicles 21, verses 1 through 30. It also violates Exodus 30, verses 11 through 16, Numbers 2, verses 1 through 34, Numbers 3, verses 14 through 51, Numbers 4, verses 34 through 49, and Numbers 26, verses 1 through 65. That's the census. Next year, 2010. We are going to all of us be subjected to the census. When your kid goes to public school, are they going to teach your child in public school that the census is a criminal activity and violates 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 laws, 7 statutes in the Bible? Are they going to learn that in public school? Hell no, they're going to learn how to participate in the census. Now the draft, this thing of involuntary servitude in the military, it violates Exodus 23, verses 32 and 33, Exodus 34, verses 10 through 17, and Leviticus 18, verses 3 through 5, Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 and 2, Numbers 31, verses 1 through 54, Deuteronomy 20, verses 1 through 20, Deuteronomy 21, verses 10 through 14, Deuteronomy 24, verse 5, and Deuteronomy 28, verses 15 through 68. Let me count those up. This is the draft now. This is where you go down and register for the selective service system. That violates 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 laws, 9 statutes that our Creator gave us. Did you know that? Now, are your children going to go to public school, and is the teacher going to stand up and say, let me explain this. God prohibits this 9 times in the Scripture. How about vaccinations, public school, income tax, Social Security, insurance, credit cards, home mortgages, unclean meat, fat? I mean, any of these laws in the Scripture, they're going to be teaching those in public school? Now, I'm not going to go through here and cite all of the scriptures that violate vaccinations, but it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 laws. Public school violates 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 laws. Income tax violates 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 laws. Social Security violates 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 laws. Insurance violates 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 laws. And home mortgages, credit cards, checking accounts, bank loans, consumer credit, and auto loans violate 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 17 laws. I mean, listen, public school is going to teach your children to violate 7 laws concerning the census, 9 laws concerning the draft, 6 laws concerning vaccinations, 7 laws concerning public schools, 9 laws concerning income tax, 5 laws concerning Social Security, 5 laws concerning insurance, 17 laws concerning credit, 2 laws concerning unclean meats, and 2 laws concerning fat. I didn't add all those laws up, but hell, it's about 60 laws or something like that. It just looks like about 60 there. Now, you know, there's a limit to how far this can go, and the limit is as far as you want to let it go. And, of course, if it doesn't bother you, you know, keep after it. I'm not sitting here telling you that, you know, you have to jerk your kid out of public school or that you need to educate your kid at home. I wanted to give you a report and tell you, well, here's what the hell's going on here. Did you know this? Did you ever look into this public school and take a look? What are the big problems going on here? What are they teaching your kid concerning sex in the public school? This book here by Barton over here, 160 pages. I mean, it's got 160 pages of material like I'm just giving you there. Now, take a look at the 7 things that God hates, a proud look. Have you seen the 16-year-old girl smoking, dressed like whores, and the boys in their gang mode hanging out at the DX service station? I mean, I can't miss it. I'm driving down the road over here, you know, and here's the kids out here, you know, from the Ludi Public School over here. The girls dress and look like whores, and the boys act like they just came off of a high or that they're in a motorcycle gang. And he says he hates a lying tongue. You know, evolution is a scientific lie promulgated by pseudoscientists in the guise of teachers who are wolves in sheep's clothing. Hands that shed innocent blood. There's 180 shootings a year in the Detroit public schools. And there are no absolutes. There's no right or wrong. There's no moral guidance. Coupled with drugs like Ritalin, Thorazine, Depakote, it produces suicide, murder, such as we see in our public schools nationwide. They're teaching that in the public school. They're giving these drugs out. They hand condoms out to 10-year-old girls in the 5th grade. What in the hell are you trying to teach 10-year-olds in the 5th grade by handing them a condom at taxpayer expense? A heart that devises wicked imaginations. I was just reading page 28 and 29 here of Barton's book on sex education. Doesn't that, aren't these wicked imaginations teaching 14-year-old girls and boys to have sex? And any kind of sex, by the way, doesn't have to be heterosexual. Feet that be swift and running to mischief. Vaccination, census, usury, public school, home mortgages, credit cards, checking accounts. And all of that is feet running to mischief. A false witness that speaks lies. Page 64, report card scores. ACT test. Licensed teachers to be permitted to run homeschools. Hey, listen, you turn over here to page 64 and I'll read this to you. On page 64, this is Barton's story over here. Even though students' achievement test scores have fallen dramatically since 1962 and 63, their report card scores have actually risen. And the top graph reflects students' report and grades collected and released by the American College Testing Program, the producers of the ACT test. By examining only report card scores in the top graphs, one could easily conclude that students were showing academic improvement. After all, their report card scores are rising year after year. However, the bottom chart reveals that student achievement, as measured on the ACT test, a college-bound test similar to the SAT, has been declining during the same period of time. Students have actually been receiving higher marks in school for knowing less, a clear contradiction in educational standards. So here's the deception. A false witness, public school teachers, are lowering the academic standards so that your students, your children, can come home with A's and B's on their report card. It's not how much does your kid know, it's how high does he score on the test for the little bit that he does learn here in public school. I mean, your kid's probably good at splitting lines of coke, or rolling a reefer with one hand, or unclasping a girl's bra with one hand. I mean, he's probably good at that. But is that really what that kid needs to be learning? I'll just bet you that the average high school kid can't find Afghanistan, Iraq, and Iran on a world map. And then finally, he that sows discord among brethren. You know, the NEA, that's the National Education Association, it's the largest teachers' union, adopted a resolution saying that homeschools cannot provide a comprehensive education and urged that only licensed certified teachers be allowed to teach children in any school, public, private, or at home. Now listen to this. Here are the public school teachers who are turning out children who score at the 50th percentile. And they come into our Congress, they come into our state legislatures, and they say, we need a law to ban homeschools. Because they don't have teaching credentials, and they're not professionals, and they're not certified to be competent. But these uncertified incompetent parents are turning out children that score at the 86th percentile on average. Listen, you talk about hypocrisy. Those public school teachers and this National Education Association is hypocrisy to a level that's unimagined in my lifetime. I never could have imagined that kind of hypocrisy as a youth growing up. You know, there used to be an old saying, you know, clean up your act. Can you remember that? Clean up your act. You know, when the public school teachers are scoring at the 86th percentile, and the homeschoolers are scoring at the 28th to 50th percentile, that statement would make some sense. And I would agree with it. But you don't hear the homeschoolers, you don't hear the parents in school or of the homeschoolers saying, hey, we ought to ban the public schools because the teachers there are so damn incompetent, and that we ought to take all the children out of the public schools and educate them at home, which I think would be the logical conclusion. That's what God told you to do. That isn't what we're going to do, but that's what we were told. And then when we take a look at the results are, you educate your kid at home, he scores higher, and it costs less. I would say that God knew what he was talking about when he said, we need homeschool. So what do I see wrong with the public schools? Well, I've got 60 things here that I see wrong with the public schools. Let me just run through it with you. First of all, the public school is anti-God, and it is anti-prayer. It is anti-Ten Commandments. It is amoral, and it is immoral. It costs twice as much as private school. It costs 10 times more than homeschool. It graduates students who cannot read. It employs incompetent teachers. It employs sodomites as teachers. It teaches our children communism. The public school teaches our children socialism. Public schools are teaching our children abortion. They're teaching our children sodomy. It teaches our children fornication. It teaches our children whoredom. It teaches our children witchcraft. It teaches the seven things that God hates. Public school is a place for rape, a place for robbery, a place for bombings, a place for murder. It's a place for arson. It's a place for burglary. Public school is a place for vandalism and extortion. The public school is a place for drugs and venereal disease. The public school is a place for abortion. Public school teaches evolution. Public school teaches crime in the form of the census. It teaches crime in the form of vaccinations. It teaches crime in the form of public education. It teaches crime in the form of the income tax. It teaches crime in the form of Social Security. It teaches crime in the form of insurance. It teaches crime in the form of usury and banking. It teaches crime in the form of unjust weights. It teaches crime in the form of home mortgage. It teaches crime in the form of credit cards, checking accounts, bank loans, consumer credit, and auto loans. Those are all crimes prohibited in the Scripture. Public school is a place where children carry weapons. It's a place for teen pregnancy. 10% of the graduating high school senior class of 2009 were pregnant. 10% were pregnant when they graduated. It's a place where children fear for their safety. Public school is a place where teachers fear for their safety. Public school is a place with no absolutes, no right and wrong. It's a place of mediocrity. Public school is a place of underachievement. It's a place of ignorance. It stimulates suicide. Public school stimulates alcohol abuse. Public school stimulates gangs and gang wars. Public school is a place of declining academic standards. Public school inflates student grade point averages. Public school turns out students who can't qualify for entry-level jobs. And number 60, there is no aspect of public school that's worth emulating. Let me read that to you. It's on page 79. The Japanese, remember I mentioned this to you, came over here and they took a look at this. It is a potent commentary on the current state of American education when, after 2 years of extensive study, the Japanese researchers could find no specific aspect of American education considered worth emulating. That's where the Japanese came over here, took a look at our public school system, and said, there isn't anything that we can see over here that we'd want to take back to Japan. Now, our politicians tell us that what we need are more public schools, more public school teachers, and smaller class sizes. And if we do those three things, our children will get smarter and smarter. Well, boys and girls, when I went to public school in 1947, Mrs. Wiles, our public school teacher, had five rows of desks with six desks in each row. There were 30 students in her class. During the year, two other students came into the class, and then they had to bring in two portable desks and set them crosswise at the end of the classroom. So she had 32 students. That was the third grade. and Mrs. Wiles graduated all 32 students to the fourth grade. Mrs. Wiles did. Now, that was in the years when, if you couldn't meet the standards for fourth grade, they would hold you back in the third. You could not go to fourth grade until you could master third grade work. So, and it was it was really derogatory. If you said, well, I'm 11 years old, but I'm in the fifth grade. See, when you're 11, you should be in the sixth grade. That meant that you flunked a year. You were held back a year. You were sick or something went wrong, and you were retarded. You were held back. No kid wanted to go to school after having flunked. But that was the standard. You can either do it or you can't. And because that was what they called the discriminatory policy, that it wrecked the self-esteem of students. God, I'll tell you it did. But I want to tell you that that woman was competent enough that all of the students graduated to the fourth grade. Now, I know in the first grade, not all of them made it to the second. In the second grade, not all of them made it to the third. Now, when I was in my third grade class, Mrs. Wiles, all of her students made it to the fourth grade. By God, she made them. We don't have this problem in parochial school. The Catholics don't allow it. In parochial school, they make them perform, or they kick them out. And that's a complaint. They say, well, the public schools are made to take all of these children, even the ones that aren't academically inclined. Has it ever occurred to us that not every child should attend school? I know it's a wild new concept, but why saddle the public schools with students that don't want to go to school? It's because it's worth $55 a day. It doesn't have anything to do with how much this kid knows or what he's learning. It has to do with the money. The public schools get $55.55 a day for every day your kid's in school, and when he's not in school, they lose $55. That's what they're concerned about. It's the money. It has nothing to do with education. Nobody gives a rat's ass about your kid and what he knows. Hey, you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. And we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the internet and radio. For more information about the law school and the law hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on a compact desk, and the law hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives. All of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these law hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the law hour is an education service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.